So all the trees, you know, going down this road, we'd lose it. And then we traveled 3 miles before we first saw it, and it come down right in front of us. And I screamed at Betty, stop. Betty started walking toward it, kind of discover what it was, I guess.
It was an oblong object as large as a water tower in the shape of a diamond. The light was blinding, and the flames came out of the bottom end.
And finally, there was a big goose of fire that come down, and it was hot. It was so hot that sweat was just pouring off of us.
As the object drifted off to the west, we became aware of many helicopters in the area.
We come on home, and I take my bath, and I wash Kobe off, and he was burning, and I was burning. I greased us down, we went on to bed. And the next morning when we got up, well, he was vomiting, had an upset stomach, and I was sick. And Betty was so sick till she couldn't even get up.
Betty had mysterious burns on her arms, on her legs, on her whole body. Her hair also started falling out in ugly clumps.
The next day, Betty checked into Parkway Hospital in Houston. Doctors there had no idea what had caused the radiation burns, and they didn't believe Betty's explanation. She was treated like any other burn victim and finally released.
The doctors at Parkway who treated her refused to discuss their findings with us. However, recently, doctors at Houston's Methodist Hospital agreed to offer opinions on the marks and scars that Betty Cash still had 8 months after that fateful night.
I did examine Betty Cash and Vicki Landrum and found that, particularly with Mrs. Cash, that she did have a dermatitis. She had some skin changes. I felt that it was conceivable that part of her problem, part of her skin problem, might have been secondary to the exposure to radiation that she described. It is a known fact that patients who have had excessive exposure to radiation do indeed come up with nausea and vomiting as a part of her symptoms.
Burns, blisters, nausea, a close encounter of a very unpleasant kind. An expert UFO investigator was called in.
I'm John Schuessler. I'm deputy director of the Mutual UFO Network. Mutual UFO Network is an international UFO investigative organization dedicated to serving the public and investigating UFO cases. My employer is McDonnell Douglas Corporation. I work in the space shuttle program as project manager for space flight operations for the space shuttle. I'm particularly interested in what happened to the people. They were burned, obviously, by some type of device, not as you would be burned by a plane, but as you would be burned by radiation. Because of that, we're trying to reconstruct the scene. We're trying to determine what the strength of the radiation may have been that caused the effects.
I would like to photograph that scene and get you to describe a little bit about what really happened. You can picture the place down there in the road where the color of the road is different as being approximately the spot. That's a little over 100 feet from us now. How close to the trees did it get, Colby? It came very close to them, didn't it?
The diamond shape, and it looked that way when you looked at it.
Right.
And the only time we had
right.
flames is when it actually came down over the road.
And it seemed like it was just tunneling right over the car.
Right. How long did the flame come out of it? Was it just a short burst or like a minute or... And then it stopped?
No,
and then it would start
come,
again?
It would come way down. And then it would make that loud sound. And then when the sound would die down, the flame would go up.
And then the flame would stop momentarily and then come down again?
And then come down again.
When the car was hot and you came back to get in it, Betty, was the door closed and you had to open the door to get in?
Yes, it was.
So,
I opened it with the bottom of my leather jacket.
Colby, you said you saw helicopters when it was even over the road. How many did you see at that time?
Five or six.
Were they big ones or small helicopters?
Big ones.
Really big.
We traveled for maybe a half a mile, and we stopped. We counted the helicopters. They were 23.
One of the major difficulties is locating the source of the helicopters. These three witnesses saw 23 helicopters that night, very clearly, at very close range. They were of two different types. The mystery of the helicopters is all important to us. The helicopters were close enough to the object, they could have made measurements. And at this point in time, we've been able to get no help in deciding and deciphering what the helicopters saw or what they recorded.
The government has denied that they had these helicopters in the state of Texas. But since that time, I have found out through other sources that they are located here. They're based here.
Did the military know something they weren't telling?
John Schuessler investigated and found dead end after dead end. He contacted every Army and Air Force base within helicopter range of Road 1485. Some denied they had helicopters like the ones described. Others admitted that they did. Grayfield and Houston, for example, had more than 100. Still, all denied emphatically that any of their copters were anywhere near the site where Vicki Landrum, Colby Landrum, and Betty Cash said they saw the object. But those three weren't the only ones who say they saw it.
We have several witnesses that claim to have seen the object or a similar object within 1 to 2 hours prior to this, only a few miles away. It gave off no flames during any of that time. It seemed to fly normally, although slowly and quietly, in the area. And suddenly, at this point along this abandoned road, it was shooting off a vast amount of flame, which is not at all like normal UFO cases. One must think that it was operating abnormally or in trouble. We can say that the helicopter decayed because someone thought the object was in trouble. They encountered a bright, glowing object, which could have been one of two things. A typical UFO, as the public understands it as being, is something unnormal, unnatural, that happens to be in our environment. Where it comes from, I would have no idea of knowing. Secondarily, it could have been a governmental experiment. Quite possibly could have been that. I would rather think it wasn't the latter, however, because if there was an experiment being taken in this area with a high population density nearby, it could have burned the people like it burned these three people. They could have killed hundreds of thousands, possibly, with this kind of a device. And I really don't think someone would be that careless. Therefore, I have to consider this is an unknown at this point in time and remains an unknown object that was encountered by military helicopters.
I thought it was the end of the world.
What did happen out on Road 1485 that night? Here's one of the witnesses you just saw, Vicki Landrum. And with her is the Director of Counseling and Testing at the University of Wyoming, Dr. R. Leo Sprinkle. Welcome, Vicki. We're going to find out more about Vicki's incredible experience. Vicki has agreed to be hypnotized, and Dr. Sprinkle has already placed her into a hypnotic trance backstage. Take Vicki back to that time.
Yes, she will experience again the events as they happened on that particular night.
And, Doctor, in this condition, will Vicki be able to remember things that she might not ordinarily be able to remember?
Yes, she'll recall the events as she recalls them from the night of December 29th, 1980, and re-experience the events.
Why don't you go ahead and do that now?
Okay, as I reach over and touch on the forehead, just let yourself go back to the events, December 29th. Okay, now you can respond to questions. Okay, Vicki, I'm going to take you back to the time, the night, December 29th, 1980. Feel yourself in the car. You're riding along in the car. Colby's with you. Betty is driving. And now you look up through the windshield, and you see something. Just go right ahead and describe what you see. Go right ahead and talk and describe what you see.
It's fire. It's coming down. Now it's going back. So, Kobe, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be all right. If you look right in the center, see it? See the object? Right in the center. You see a big man, that'll be Jesus. And maybe it won't hurt us. There's no way it'll ever hurt us. Because he'll never hurt nobody. And he'll carry us to a much, much better place. Betty, get back in the car, please. We're gonna burn up, Betty. Yeah, Betty. It's going to be all right. It's lifting. Thank God. Thank God.
Get yourself going through the experience. Now you're back home. Now that you're back home, how do you feel about the experience as you look back on the events of seeing the object, feeling the heat, seeing the helicopters? What do you feel like now?
We can't tell nobody.
Can't tell anybody?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I told Kobe not to.
Why not?
Because I didn't believe it myself, so why should anybody else? I told Kobe I'd whip him if he told anybody.
How has this experience changed your life?
Well, it's not very pleasant anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure it is a difficult time. But I hope you're aware that your honesty and your willingness to come forward, your courage, is inspiring to other people. So we thank you very much for sharing your information with us. Okay, as you're relaxing deeply, let yourself know in a few moments you can return to the normal state. When you do, you can feel wide awake, alert and refreshed, feeling fine, feeling good, minimizing any effects of the memories, and feeling fine, feeling good. As I count from 1 to 5, let yourself return to the normal state, feeling fine and feeling good. Okay, returning to the normal state now, counting from 1, 2, 3, more and more to the normal state. 4, now wide awake at 5, wide awake and feeling fine. Here's the Kleenex.
Vicki and Dr. Sprinkle, thank you so very, very much for sharing this story and being with us tonight.